1210, Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. John Williams here with Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. We'll talk in this hour, 312-981-7200, about student loans, about more deferments still, about inflation. And speaking of inflation, about the rising cost of heating your home. Terry, I heard from some people today and yesterday, and they're telling me what their gas bills are to heat their house, and it's crazy. My wife sent me a note about, she just texted me the other day and said, here's our gas bill. We have to go on that level payment plan because the numbers are pretty high. I guess I'm not the first one to mention that to you, huh?
But no, we were the first ones to discuss that in the summer.
In the July.
When the futures started rallying. Actually, I'm just going to look now for the current price on oil, but it has actually, and natural gas, have backed off from their highs this summer.
I saw that. So do you think that it's, is my next bill going to be a little less? Because my last bill was a car payment. It was a large number.
Well, in July, I think it was in July, it was about natural gas is in therms, but it just give you the numbers. Yeah. It was about almost 6.00. We're now down in last, at the depths of the pandemic when everything slowed down, it was at about 2. And now it's at about 3.9. So it went from when everything fell apart and collapsed. And remember, oil prices, energy prices went negative, and it was down, natural gas was down to about 2. It rose to about 6 this summer when we were talking about it. It's back down just under 4. So what you're seeing is the pass-through of the prices your supplier paid for gas that they purchased during the summer. And they're not going to drop it real quickly, I don't think, because the demand is so high in the cold weather. Fortunately, we haven't yet had one of those polar freezes.
Yeah.
It really pushes your gas bill up. So I don't expect the gas bill to drop, but I don't think it will last forever because the futures have already backed off.
Well, that's encouraging news. Talk to me about inflation otherwise, Terry.
You read my latest column called The Ravages of Inflation. It was printed on Monday and wrote it a week ago. And all I can tell you is that I likened the inflation, which is really just the debasement of the currency. You know, the Fed creates more and more money, buys U.S. government debt, pays for it with newly created money. Someone said, I love your analogy. It reminds me of kudzu. You know those vines that grow in your garden or on your bushes? And for a while, you look out there and you say, I love this. Look at my bushes. Have never looked more green and lush. This happened to me a couple of years ago. And I went out there and said, wait, that's not a bush. That's this horrible vine. I started pulling at it and pulling at it. And it really was devastating the bush underneath, but giving you the illusion that you had greenery. And then, of course, the host bush will die. So that's an awful lot the way I see inflation. At first, you got, oh, it's money. That's good. I feel better. Oh, good. I can go buy stuff. And then everybody notices, and prices go up, and then there's a demand for wages to keep up with the prices. And only, I hate to say this, but if you're under 65, maybe even under 70, you weren't a grown-up in 1980, which is now, hard to believe, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You didn't really understand what inflation did to savers, to the economy. And it happened in the late 70s because the government was printing money to pay for both the Vietnam War all through the decade of the 70s. And because you don't remember this, but OPEC controlled the energy world. If you're younger, you don't remember it. And so prices went up. I mean, gasoline prices went up. Today, they seemed like nothing, but it was a shock. You know, people who knew gas at 25 cents a gallon were paying $3 a gallon. That was a shocker back in the early 70s. And so the government printed money to make people feel better. Oh, see, you've got money. You can handle the higher gas prices for your car. We can buy stuff to pay for the Vietnam War. And then it all came to a head in 79 and 80. So this isn't over yet. That's my thought.
It's not going to be that bad, though, is it? And by that bad, I mean as bad as it was then.
It was shocking then because the previous generation's worst memories were about depression and deflation. I don't think it'll be that bad because there's still some of us around who remember how devastating inflation is. But right now, the Fed's talking a good game. Oh, they've stopped saying it's transitory, but they're saying, interest rates are going to, maybe we'll raise rates a little. When the market gets around to deciding the Fed's lost control, interest rates in the, maybe not the short-term rate market, but the long-term rate market, they could go as high, I hope, certainly not, as we saw in the late 70s. And then the last surge of interest rates was Paul Volcker raising rates to slow the economy, to bring inflation out of the economy. I do not think we're going to get there this time. We must be smarter than that. Someone must remember.
Terry Savage joins us on WGN. I got some things to ask you about, Terry, but maybe you want to jump in here. Anything else you want to start with?
Yeah, well, the big headline. Let's just start with the big headline news that happened less than an hour ago. The Biden administration extended the pause on student loans until May 1st. And we've been talking about it the last few weeks. I wrote a column about it. It's up at terrysavage.com. Get ready. Contact your servicer. Come up with a plan. Go for, you know, income-based repayment if you don't have the money. I think there was a lot of pressure, obviously, I mean, clearly, on the president to do something. And so they've extended it till May 1st. That means no interest is accruing. No debt collectors are coming after you. And it's about 41 million borrowers who are impacted. 27 million haven't had to pay their bills since the forbearance began, and more than 7 million got a reprieve from debt collection. So this, you remember, the CARES Act in March of 2020 put this initial forbearance in place. It was extended by the Trump administration. One of the very first acts when the President Biden took office in January was to push the date back to September 30th, this forbearance. And then in August, he pushed it back to January 31st, just as we were coming up. But I would have bet, and been wrong, of course, I would have bet that this time they would have said, well, the economy's coming back. We better start collecting again. It's just a matter of you know, proper finance. Of course, we haven't done any proper finance in this country for a long time. Yeah. But I think the Omicron variant gave them the, quote, excuse. If maybe you're not going to have New Year's Eve in Times Square, maybe you shouldn't have to pay your student loans.
I don't get that connection at all. I mean, I take seriously what the Omicron variant is doing to the world, but a lot of people are working. Why aren't they paying off their debt?
I'm not sure. Now I'm getting out of my financial territory into political. I think if Build Back Better had passed, this might have gotten lost because there would be so much cheering for all the other things going on, the child tax credit and so forth. But it didn't. And this smells to me, but what do I know about politics? Like, what can we do to make some people happy anyway? And here, 40 million people will be delighted. You know, probably rightfully so, many of them can't afford, don't have their low-income jobs back. And so we'll say that we could postpone that again. 3 months, 90 days, take a deep breath, try and get a job, try and save some money. I think, now here's my big bet. I bet a lot of money and credibility, too, that there's no way they can totally wipe out student loan payments, not with this Congress divided. So I think at some point you're going to have to start repaying.
Well, the last we talked about this, we said that's not going to happen, that student debt forgiveness, even for, say, $10,000, just isn't going to happen. Maybe,
yeah, well,
maybe
I would have
shy
bet
of Build Back Better, that might be back on the table, huh?
Well, something. So I think what's going on now is, what can you do by executive order to help people?
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Well, the president kicked that to the Department of Education, waiting for a ruling back from them or some sort of judgment. He wanted somebody to green light that authority for him.
Yeah, but it did not require Congress to postpone student loans. As you remember, that was an extension of something passed by Congress, and it didn't require Congress to extend it, obviously.
Not to get political, but let's just finish this thought, and then we'll take your calls. 312-981-7200. You can text as well. Terry, was it Goldman Sachs said that gross domestic product would be better with Build Back Better? The ramifications of this very expensive plan, or maybe it's not very expensive at all. It's $1 trillion+ spread out over 10 years. But anyway, the offshoot of it would be positive towards gross domestic product. Now, what does that mean to me? How should I score that?
Well, the sad thing about Build Back Better is, and depending on your viewpoint, it's different things. There were many things in that program that could have helped create jobs, for example, that might have been positive. It's just that you have such extremes of opinion about things like, quote, giving away money in the child tax credit, which they said would only go a year, but just like everything else, would likely have gotten extended and wasn't included in the cost. I'm just giving you that argument over on that side, which made people say, oh my goodness, this is a giveaway. Manchin said that, you know, we can't do that. You haven't scored in honestly. You know, it's going to take, it's going to take on a life of its own. What other government program has ever been taken back once it started? So there was that extreme. And then, believe me, there were probably, if it hadn't been for some of the extreme unscored spending on the one extreme, you might have actually gotten some very good stuff done. Don't forget, we have the infrastructure bill, and that should, it should also help the economy.
And that passed with bipartisan support. Now, if you break it down into its individual elements, that would require 60 votes out of the Congress for these pieces of Build Back Better. Manchin says no to the big picture, so they're going to have to try and piecemeal it out and see if they can't get it passed that way, which will be, you know, not impossible, but not an easy lift for Democrats either.
Again, I only follow money, not politics, John, but there are probably some pieces of Build Back Better that if they were willing to separate them, they could pass and actually might be not only helpful to people, but helpful to the economy in the future. But there are some things that probably won't get passed if they were separated out and not blended. And it's like chocolate chip cookies. Once you put all the chips in and you add some butterscotch chips, you just can't really pull them out of the batter. Really. And the people who demand that the more, you would you define it as generous or extreme, they're not going to let this, they say, the Democrats on the left, they're not going to let this be debated piecemeal. And so you got the whole batter there with chocolate chips and butterscotch chips. And can you tell I'm thinking about dinner?
I'm thinking about cookies right now. Can I read you a text?
Please do.
I got a bunch here. Here's just a one-off. You can tell me what you think of this. John, what about all of us that are paying every month on our kids' college out of savings? If they're going to have student loan deferment still again, what about the people that have been paying all along out of their savings? Terry, should people be paying on their student loans right now?
The two separate subjects. Let's talk about the practical one, which I think is part of this question, and the philosophical one. The practical one is, yes, you should pay down those loans now because you'll have a lower principal owed on which the interest will be applied when it starts coming back again May 1st. So the immediate question is, yeah, if you got like a gift or something happened or whatever, an inheritance, and you could pay down that student loan, do it now. Now, 49,000 people listening to us just said, but wait a minute, what if they do away with payments on student loans? What if they just forgive everything? I told you, I have to really bet against it. I think that would be totally immoral. Inflation is immoral. It robs from the value of your money. But there are millions of people who have paid off their student loans. You know, remember, I've long advocated that instead of people paying 8% on loans, which many people are, or more, because their loans were taken out years ago at higher rates and they never change, then if they would only reduce the loans to the current 1.5% that the government pays to borrow for 10 years, it would make the burden more manageable. I think that I just cannot imagine total forgiveness of student loans making you feel like a jerk because you paid yours off. And the smart odds-on money move is if you get some money now, pay it down. It'll lower the interest burden down the road because now interest isn't accruing. You're making a dent directly in the principal.
Last year, some people who had less than $10,000 on their student loans weren't paying because they were betting that they would get total forgiveness on the other side and they didn't need to have paid that money. There's no penalty for not paying your student loan other than you miss the opportunity to pay down the principal and then, as you said, have a lower payment down the road when they bring interest back to bear.
Well, currently, there's no penalty because interest is not accruing. They're not assessing penalties. So it's an interesting bet. Right now, it's a free bet. It's a free bet that if you don't pay anything down on your student loans.
All right, then how about this? Save the money. I mean, make that, write that check out and put it in a separate account.
By all means, save the
you'll
money.
You'll have it.
Exactly. Great. John, you can be the financial advisor of the week. That's a great
idea. I could not. John, my parents plus student loan interest rates range from 6.45 to 8.99%. Plus, we pay an origination point fee when taking out the loans. Why so high? Principal gets recirculated for the next students. Who is getting rich off the interest? Why are these loans so high?
John, do you remember, I think it was not last summer, but a year ago, when there was a whole big thing going on, and I went on air and said, do not take out a PLUS loan. Do not take out a PLUS loan. It's the most expensive loan I have forever. Check all the editions of The Savage Truth on Money, where I talk about student loans, have always said, do not take out a Parent PLUS loan. It is the most expensive loan you can get. And second of all, nobody's refinancing those. Those are really kind of private lenders. So they know they've got you over the barrel. The only thing you can do is refinance your house if it's gone up in value, take the money out and pay down the loan. A caution, it used to be that all the interest on your mortgage was deductible. But if you take money out, $20,000 or $50,000, if you could pay off that horrible high-rate student loan, the worst thing that could be happening to your money. But the interest, the principal that you use to pay that off, the interest is not deductible on that portion of your mortgage. But still, if you can figure out a way out from under a Parent PLUS loan, this is one unqualified piece of advice I can give you. Go figure it out. And don't go back to the lender and say, I'm sorry, the rates are so high.
All right, what about a home equity loan then? Should I? You just referred to that. Should I take?
Well, I would rather have you. Well, you know, this is a new subject, but I think rates are going up because I think inflation is here for a while. So a home equity loan, the rates will float. I think you're probably better off just doing a refi. Rates are still low. I'm trying to think. I saw earlier today.
Refi on my student loan?
No.
On your mortgage.
Let me back up. Refi your mortgage.
Sure.
Lock in today's rates about 3.28% on a 30-year loan. Maybe if you make it a 15-year loan, you can get down very close to 3%. Pay off an 8% Parent PLUS loan.
Okay, there you are. Yeah. What about this? Terry, please reassure me I'm okay for retirement. Now, here's a couple of parameters they gave us. Ready? House paid for since 2006. $100,000 cash in the banks, cars paid for, no credit card debt. Husband and I together have $700,000 in a 401k. Will we be okay? I'm 62. My husband is 59. We are still working.
How long do you think you're going to live? That's
Monta,
the tough one.
I know.
I happen
Let's say
to be
90.
About.
Let's
I'm
say 98.
About Yeah, right. You should say 98, even though you don't want to go on averages. I am about to write a column about a brand new book just published this week by Lawrence Kotlikoff. He's the guy who wrote something called Get What's Yours about Social Security, and he has the $40 Social Security, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, the $40 program that when people have complicated stuff, like my husband is working or he's retired, should I? That's what I always say. Now, he has a new, it's not new, he's been working on, this guy's going to get a Nobel Prize. I know he will, Lawrence Kotlikoff. Go to Maxify, MaxiFi.com. I'm trying to remember how much this costs. I think a couple hundred dollars. Go to Maxify.com. Put in all your information, unlike any other financial planning strategy thing, which he is so down on Wall Street, which I'll have to write about. I just interviewed him yesterday. I'll have to write the whole column. But if you want to know if that's enough for you to retire, a lot of questions have to be answered, including how long are you planning to live? And if you go to Maxify.com, you can use that software. And you know what? Do it. Come back. And if it's not worth it, I'll call Larry and tell him to forgive the price.
$700,000 in the 401k sounds like a lot of money, but maybe not enough money to go, okay, good, I'm in the clear. I think that's the number that has to be worrying these people.
As we talked about, you know, I even wrote a book called The Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? As he pointed out to me, and, you know, I blushed a little bit, he said, that's not the point, Terry. The point is, how are you investing it? What kind of risk are you inoculating yourself against? This book, Money Magic, by Lawrence Kotlikoff, I really highly recommend it as a Christmas gift. I had so much fun reading it. He's the most fascinating guy. You can understand this. And he turns financial planning on its head. I asked him that was my first question. You know, I do a podcast. at friendstalkmoney.org. I do it with Richard Eisenberg of Next Avenue and Pam Kruger of Wealth Ramp. And we're taping tomorrow a review of a couple of books. And you'll hear Lawrence Kotlikoff. So go to friendstalkmoney.org. It'll be up in about a week or 10 days. And the book is Money Magic.
Okay.
It's going to change everything.
Please tell Terry. I don't want a long answer to this, Terry, because you could do two shows on the following one sentence. Hey, John, tell Terry I retired at 62 and I love my early Social Security. That's somebody thumbing their nose at your advice to wait until the very last day.
Well, read this book, Money Magic. You just cheated yourself out of a fortune over your average lifetime, and if you live longer, a much fortune. If you can live comfortably knowing that you cheated yourself, every year before you reach full retirement age, it costs you 7% on your check. And if you waited till age 70, you'd get another 8% for every year you waited. And I could leave through the book right now and tell you
the numbers are for the average person. It's worse.
You cheated yourself. I couldn't sleep at night.
Talking to Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. Are you ready for more, Tara?
I know people are waiting. I want you to give me 30 seconds. Please pay attention to this. Gave me a minute to read through, find the spot I highlighted in Money Magic by Lawrence Kotlikoff because it gives you the numbers. It says that the average person who takes Social Security early at 62 versus taking it at 70, they will give up 76% in benefits. In other words, their check would be 76% higher if they would wait till age 70, the latest. And when I said this man cheated himself, if a reasonably middle-income worker started receiving benefits at 62 and lives to 100 versus waiting till 70, the difference is $474,000 over the years. Now, you may not live to be 98 or 100, but the fact is, over the long run, you are going to come out much better if you wait at least until full retirement age to take Social Security. You paid in. They took money out of your check. They said your employer paid half of it. That's not true. You would have gotten that money if your employer didn't have to pay it. So it's over 12% you've been paying year after year. You want to cheat yourself out of the benefits by starting to take Social Security at 62. Find some other money or don't stop working. End of story. The book is Money Magic by Lawrence Kotlikoff. You'll love it.
Hi, John Williams. Is it too late to open an IRA this year?
You can walk right into the bank tomorrow, today, and open an IRA and make your deposit. It has to be opened by the last business day of the year.
All right.
So if Fidelity or Vanguard, it's going to take too long, but walk into the bank and put it in a CD, and then if you don't like that option, roll it over into, next year, roll it to Fidelity.
Hey, Terry Savage, what do you think of Bitcoins as a Christmas bonus?
It's interesting. You have to open an account. I mentioned them in my Christmas holiday gift. Yeah, sure. Why not? Except you're not going to give a full Bitcoin, which is currently trading at over $48,000 a Bitcoin. You have to give a little sliver, a slice of a Bitcoin. And remember, you're not just getting a little piece of metal somewhere. You're getting an accounting digital account.
This is Tony. You're on WGN Radio. Tony, how can we help you?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. First off, I hate to say this, but I don't agree with waiting on Social Security. I myself started collecting it early and just putting it away, and by the time I need it, I've got some money put away. And a lot of people that I've talked to felt the same way. They said, I need it now. I'm not going to wait until I'm 70 or whatever it is.
Hold on. Tony, I know that's your decision, and you know Terry disagrees.
Okay, so here's a quick question.
Here we go.
Are you married?
There we go.
Are you married?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you know that when you die, your wife, or your ex-wife, if you were married for at least 10 years, gets your Social Security check. So if you say, I might not live long enough.
Because my wife gets more than I do.
Okay, and one more question. Did you earn 6% on your money this year? The money you saved?
Some of it I did because I invested some of it.
Okay. Well, you wanted to take a risk and invest it? I would have gone for the sure inflation adjustment of 6% plus the increase of 7% every year guaranteed for every year you waited. But you know what? You pay your money and you take your choices.
This isn't why Tony called.
Happy,
Tony wants to know, should I pay off my house? That was your question, right, Tony?
Yes, it was. Actually, I think we talked about this before. And my wife and I inherited a house that we sold. And we owe about $30,000 on what we have. We've been paying on this thing a long time.
What's the rate you're paying? What's the rate?
We actually refied twice, and we're paying around, right around 3.5.
Okay, hold on, because we're running out of time. Any advice you want to give in that?
If you've got the money, go ahead, because you've given up your secure annuity of Social Security, so you don't want to be losing money to the interest you're charged on this mortgage if you have the cash sitting there and you're risking it in investments when you know you'd get a real return by paying off your mortgage.
Got it.
So please go ahead and pay it off.
Tony, thanks
for
the call.
In the long run.
Will we be getting an Illinois check for the taxes that were overpaid on unemployment?
Illinois has I haven't had anyone complain to me about not receiving a refund from the state. Yeah, the federal government, people are still waiting. That's at $10,200.
Yeah.
But most people have gotten it. You'll be able to claim it on your tax return that you'll start filing in the next couple of months for 2021 if you didn't get the check.
I'm out of time, Terry.
Whoa, sorry.
No, that's not you. A lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of information, and a lot of passion from Terry Savage. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to all out there. And if you're signed up for my newsletter at terrysavage.com, I'm just sending out a little Christmas message this afternoon.
That's good to read, terrysavage.com.